Well, once again, good morning and welcome to our guests and visitors. We're glad you're here today and we pray that you feel welcome. We also pray that you're able to join us after worship for our adult Bible class in the fellowship area as we dive more deeply into the story and the message we're about to receive. Hope and pray that you're able to join one of the 50 plus folks who have committed to taking the journey. Rest assured, we'll save a spot for you as well as a donut if you're in time. Once again, as we prepare for our message, I'd like to turn your attention to our worship bulletin. If you'd go ahead and reach for that once again, and if you'll flip that to the back, you'll see there's a place for you to take sermon notes. Each week and then moving forward, I'd like to provide you with an opportunity to take notes of what God will lay on your heart during the course of the message. Perhaps God will lay something different on your heart that he's laid on my heart this week. And the hope and prayer is that when God lays it on your heart, that you'll also be attentive and tuning in to what God might want you to do with that message this week as we go out and share our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we take a moment to venture further into our journey into God's story, we're going to take a look at the people of Israel who are on the cusp of going right into the promised land, the land that God swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them out of his grace. At this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's introductory sermon video. Let's turn our attention up front.
After Moses died, God gave Joshua the job of leading the Israelites. The first thing he did was send spies into Jericho, a city Israel was about to invade. While they were there, the two spies hid in the home of a woman named Rahab, who was a prostitute. That day, the king of Jericho heard about the spies, but Rahab hid the two spies on her roof and told the king's messengers that the spies had already left and she didn't know where they were. Then, when it was safe, she lowered the men down to the ground using a rope. Days later, Joshua led his army to the city of Jericho. They marched around the walls of the city for 7 days. Then, on the seventh day, they marched around the walls 7 times, blew their trumpets, and let out a loud shout. When they did, the walls of the city completely collapsed, and Israel's army charged in and conquered the city. They burned the city to the ground and killed every man, woman, child, and animal in the city, except for Rahab and her family. For years, Joshua and the Israelites marched through the Promised Land, defeating their enemies, killing every living thing in each city, and dedicating their victories to God. Eventually, the Israelites took control of much of the Promised Land. Finally, when he was very old, Joshua gathered all of the leaders of Israel around him. Just like Moses did, he reminded everyone of all the things God had done for them. Then, he placed a large stone under an oak tree as a reminder to all to follow the laws of God.
Forgot to mention before too, if you're in need of something to write with or take notes, you can raise your hand and one of our ushers would be glad to get a writing utensil into your hand. This morning, in follow-up and on the heels of our video this morning, let me share this with you. Sometimes in life, we find that some battles are easy to see coming. Some battlegrounds and arenas are easy to spot from a mile away. We can see them coming, if you'd agree with that statement. And maybe you've found that to be true in your own life. But it's also true that sometimes various battles and battlegrounds and battlefields and arenas are a little more subtle. And they're harder to spot, and sometimes they're veiled. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Years ago, back in 2008, and many of you have heard me talk about this and share this already, back in 2008, I had the opportunity to travel with a missionary group down to the Central American country of Belize to share our faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with a group of people who were caught in a battleground of sorts. And we knew that going in. Let me make that very clear. We knew that going in. The battle that was going on and being waged in this coastal village of Saint Bite was a battle that was being spurned and pushed forward by subscribers to the world religion known as voodoo. So in other words, practices, rituals, sacrifices, curses, worship of demons and spirits and ancestors, you name it. The battle was being waged for the people of this village. We knew that going in. So every morning before our group would go into the village, we'd pray. And when we left, we'd pray. And during our time in the village, rest assured, we prayed. And we prayed as we walked from door to door and place to place, meeting people and interacting with them and engaging them, trying to hear more about life and culture in this hot spot of warfare. And a lot of this, once again, we knew going in. We went to various marketplaces and cultural hotspots. And we knew that in those places, there would be a number of folks who were selling things, goods, crafts, artwork, that looked really good and really harmless on the surface level. But we knew that deep down, monies received from those sales were going to be used to go back and patronize the voodoo temple and to support more of the stuff that was going on with that practice. We knew that going in. What we didn't know and the battle we didn't see coming was the battle that was about to take place and what we were told would be a Christian service. One night we traveled outside the usual perimeter and area that we had been serving in, and we came to this place that looked relatively friendly. It looked like this. It looked a lot like any other Christian congregation and sanctuary and building might look like here in the States. In fact, you walk up, and what do you see? You see nice wood doors. You see a cross etched into the door itself. And you tell me, what do you see when you look down the center aisle? You see a cross. Yeah. How scary does that look? In fact, when you go inside a little bit further, you see there's a worship team set up. There's a chancel area just like this. There's mics over here. There's music stands over here. There's a place for the preacher to stand, the worship leader to lead. And it looks relatively non-threatening. Would you agree with that? What we didn't know was that moments after the worship service began, a battle was about to take place. That particular night, a visiting speaker, we'll say, was invited to come and be a part of this service. And at one point, the worship leader handed the mic over to this speaker, who had somehow found her way into this village of poverty, of hunger, of financial strain, of illness and disease, of relational strife and brokenness. Somehow, she had found her way into this place and had set herself up as a speaker for this night. And once she opened her mouth, that's when the battle began. Shortly after speaking, she began to promise these people who were living in brokenness that God was going to bless them hundreds of times more in their finances, hundreds of times more in their health, hundreds of times more in their relational brokenness, in their need for food, and so forth. And all the while, she's working the people up into this emotional frenzy. People are fainting. People are crying. People are clapping their hands. And she starts to speak in other languages. But as God's word says, if someone's going to speak in other languages, then someone needs to be there to interpret what she's saying, because speaking in tongues is supposed to be for the building up of the body of Christ. No interpretation, no building up. For the next several moments, she's speaking and she's rattling off thing after thing after thing. And all the while, we're sitting there and we're not sure whether or not she's actually preaching from God's word, and we're not sure who or what she's preaching in. In other words, whose name she's preaching in. This day, we still don't know who or what she worships and who or what she was pushing on the people, but it was very clear following that service that a battle had taken place. And it's a battle that the people of Israel that we saw referenced in our video this morning knew about all too well, and I'm willing to bet this morning that it's a battle you and I know all too well also. What battle is that? It's a battle for our heart. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, we see that God has brought his people into the promised land, and very soon they're about to go in. But God has a warning for his people. God has marching orders for his people, and it's very, very important that they stick closely to these marching orders. The marching orders go something like this. Displace the people you find in this land. In other words, displace the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, not the mosquito bites, but the list goes on, right? Old pastor joke, I gotcha. And at a surface level glance or read, it looks pretty harsh. And it's easy to wonder, well, what's the big deal? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 to 13 shares with us what the big deal is. Let me share this with you this morning. God's word and marching orders to his people. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or one who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Like I said, some battles are easy to see coming. We see them a mile away. You see a fire, what do? You back away. You see smoke, you know where the fire is at. But sometimes, and just like the situation in Belize, sometimes battles are hard to see. And God knew that when his people went into this new territory they didn't know, and they came across people they had never encountered before, God knew about all the underlying battles that would be waged for their hearts and their faith. In other words, as the people would come into a city, it might look like a normal city, but there's a battle underfoot. It might look like a normal group of people, but there's spiritually toxic stuff under the scene, like we read about in Deuteronomy 18, child sacrifice, shrine prostitution, witchcraft, you name it. The list goes on, and it gets worse. God and his interest, God and his desire to maintain the structural integrity of his people's hearts warns them as they're about to go into this land. Now this morning, let me just pause for a moment and ask you this question. What's currently contending for your heart? You see, once again, sometimes battles, well, sometimes they're overt, they're easy to see coming. And even sometimes we struggle with those. But more often than not, we see the battle and we know, don't go there. But sometimes there are battles that are hard to see coming. Like the conversation we had this week that we didn't see coming. Or the interaction with a stranger or a coworker or a family member that we just didn't see coming. Or maybe the temptation that came crawling its way into our house or our hearts or our minds. And before we knew it, we found ourselves engaged in a battle we just didn't see coming. Friends, what's been contending for your heart this week? You see, once again, God knew full well that these other peoples would be a snare for his people Israel. In fact, he says that in Deuteronomy, if you're not careful when you go into this land, this other group of people will snare you. They'll hook you into their practices. They'll get you to meet with them in their houses and their marketplaces. And at a surface level look, it looks really tame and harmless. But deep down, you will find there is a battle for your heart. If that question is a little obscure for you this morning, then let me put it this way. Where is your battlefield? Once again, a battlefield can take many shapes, forms, and sizes. Sometimes they're short-lived battles, but sometimes they're a multi-day, multi-week campaign. And as a result, we find ourselves wounded in the battle and hurt and depleted and running on empty. And if that's where you're at this morning, then God has a word for you. It's the same word he gave to his people as they were entering into the promised land. And we hear this from Joshua chapter 1, These are God's marching orders to his people, and this is his promise to his people. Let me share this with you. Joshua 1:9, maybe you've heard this already. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, I have reason to believe that we have more in common with the people of Israel than maybe we thought as we walked in here this morning. For example, as you wander into the situation this week where you know a battle's about to take place, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When you find yourself in a place you just don't quite understand, with circumstances and situations that just don't make sense, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When a bill finds its way on your table, when a report comes in from the doctor, when things feel like they aren't changing, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, friends, here's the thing. God willingly joins his people on the battlegrounds that they face. Did you know that? God in his grace willingly joins his people on the battlegrounds we daily face. The people of Israel found this out to be true firsthand. God joined them on the march, and he walked right before them, and he cleared out the spiritually toxic stuff to maintain the integrity of their hearts. But what about us? How do we know it to be true? How do we know today, September 2016, that our God will do the same thing for us? Well, friends, I got some good news for you. You ready for it? He's already done it for us through Jesus Christ. John shares this with us in his gospel account. John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling where? You tell me, where? Among us. Not on a mountaintop, not in a monastery, not in some ivory tower, but right here in the brokenness, in the hurt, in the mess, on the battlefield. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus Christ understands a broken heart. Jesus Christ understands temptation because he was tempted in the wilderness, but he came through unscathed. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be hurt and betrayed by strangers, by the people closest to you. Jesus Christ knows about the battles you and I face, and so he went and fought the biggest battle of all time, the battle we could not fight ourselves. And he did it on a hill, on a cross. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, he is proclaimed as the victor of all places, all times, all things. And what Jesus Christ earns, he gives to you and to me this day freely as a gift. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, hope, and a promise, an ironclad promise that when you and I set foot on the battlefield this week, Jesus Christ is right there with us. That is his promise to you. He makes that pledge to us in our baptism when those waters are poured over our heads and we are claimed by God. We receive that promise once again today in the sacraments of Holy Communion, where Jesus himself once again comes to us as we receive the body and blood, and he whispers in your heart and in your mind, I'm with you in the fight. Perhaps you caught this in the video today. I didn't draw it. I wish I could claim credit for it. It was done pretty well. But maybe, just maybe, you heard in today's video that after God gave all these victories to his people, they did something. And we see it here. They built stone monuments to the faithfulness and the glory of their God. This week, my prayer for us is that we would serve as living stones and monuments of God's faithfulness, grace, and power, so that when people see you and me, they don't see you and me, But what they see is our God who joins his people willingly on their battlefields. This week, as you go into those battlefields and whatever else it is that comes your way, remember this. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May God meet you on the battlefield this week. Amen.